1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yep. Scott is filling in for the newest BJ Robinson.
For BJ. He
took over Robinson. Yeah, Chief Adams' spot on the council. So technically not a voting member, but he's here to.
Did he give him authority to vote?
He said he would be here, but we can ask Scott if it comes to that.
To clarify, he did not specify that he was designating any of the three for me to vote.
Okay.
I'm pretty good then if you heard all that.
Yeah, it's true. Camera everywhere, mics everywhere. Here, come back as well.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for being here today. We'll start with the minutes. Has anybody had the opportunity to read the minutes?
I have, and I propose that we accept them as written.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any opposed? All right, minutes are passed. Report from the pretrial services subcommittee.
Yeah, happy to. Since the last time we met, there's been funding is the biggest issue right now. I think we'll get to that here in a second with Commissioner Beltran. The MOU that was proposed, I've gotten some feedback from the courts through via Judge Porter. Thank you, Judge. They were fantastic notes and caught a lot of things that we didn't anticipate that could be potential holes in how the program operates. So I'm in the process of incorporating those into the MOU, and then I will be reaching out to the Sheriff's Office, Chief Higley, to discuss those and to make sure we fill all the holes and that could potentially arise. Again, other than that MOU that is currently being revised, like I said, I think funding is the main issue. Jeff, I don't know if you wanted to talk to her or Commissioner Beltran, if you wanted to speak to that.
To which?
To the funding portion of the program.
On the MOU,
yeah.
Is there any other comments on it today? Okay. So we'll turn it. So Commissioner Beltran, it's my understanding that you guys have taken an informal vote and can't provide funding this year.
Yeah. So yesterday was included our initial budget. And the commission did not fund it yesterday. That doesn't mean that we can't. I think it's a mix of timing and funding. The thought process is we need a legislative session to try and get the money. And we're optimistic for that. We're also trying to cover homeless services right now, which has now been $300,000 in unfunded expenses in the last 2 weeks. We also have the attorney's office, the sheriff's office, very busy right now with a lot of things going on. So the idea was just to push it off a little bit. I feel the commission is very supportive overall, but we need to try and find and secure the $300K alternatively first.
Okay. So I talked to Steve Hunter yesterday, and I've also talked to Val Peterson about possibly getting some funding from the legislature, and we're going to try to get together and see what we can do. I'd prefer to get this started. Quite frankly, if we have to wait another year, I'm not sure what this committee is going to be doing for the next year. I mean, it's been our focus for a year and a half. But I'll work on that.
And I've engaged Steve as well and Tyler Clancy, to try and get us some funds during the session as well.
I guess what I picture is them funding year one or year one and two, and then the county going from there.
And I think the commission would be supportive of that approach.
So I don't know where the legislature, I hear it's going to be, as I hear every year, it's going to be
socks and underwear.
I'm going to continue to work that avenue. So anyway.
And I thought yesterday after I emailed you and Ben, I don't think the commission would be opposed to putting it into restricted fund, so that we acknowledge that if we do acquire the funds, we can start rather quickly instead of saying not until 2027 just because the budget was adopted. So I think I'll bring that up next budget meeting and say, what about moving it into restricted?
Okay. That would be great. I appreciate that.
Mr. Gray, real quick, it might also be helpful if we are talking about state legislators. Please don't underestimate the willingness of Michael Drexel and the Administrative Office of the Courts to jump in and be supportive, because that's who went through all of the MOU. And Mr. Drexel he's been sort of our point person on pretrial, and I can't imagine that while he's up on the Hill, he wouldn't be happy to help put a word in wherever we could.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We can certainly reach out to him. And I mean, one of the things I'd like to remind the legislature is, I mean, this is a legislatively mandated committee to do something, and now we need help to actually move forward. So hopefully they can see to it to find some funds to help us out here to at least get it started.
Remind me, Mr. Gray, was there monies available, funding and grant monies in this topic?
I thought so, but maybe that's not the case.
That's the state funding we're talking about. We don't know if it's.
They don't have an existing.
Well, there is a UAC. There's UAC grant for counties of the 3rd through 6th class, so we don't qualify, which is a frequent issue in way more than just this category.
Yeah.
Correct. And just somewhere in my memory, I just remember there was discussion about funds available specifically, but apparently not. Okay.
Because it's only counties of the 3rd through 6th class, which I did not know until now. So thank you. Any other thoughts? Anybody know Ryan Smith? He seems to have money.
I'm working on getting money from him for another project, but not criminal justice.
All right. So now is really the thing that's most pressing right now is our strategic plan. Ben, do you want to talk about that?
Sure.
I will note that It's due on November 30th, but UAC would like to get it by the 21st. The 30th apparently falls on a Sunday, and they'd like some time to compile all the – there's, I think, 18 CJCCs in the state, and so they're going to compile them all. So, Ben, what are you?
Happy to. I sent this document to the council yesterday. It remains mostly the same. The additions come in the pretrial services subcommittee area, where I've discussed the progress that's been made in the pretrial services program, including developing an MOU, fleshing out the specifics with the sheriff's office, working with Public Works to find office space, et cetera. At the end of that paragraph, the roadblocks that we're coming up against are discussed briefly, including some funding issues. That's an area where Jeff has expressed we can maybe expand upon some of those struggles adequately convey what we're up against to the state. So that is the first big change. The thing that I need from the group, every year this group provides statistics. According to the statute, we kind of have to provide a roadmap, a snapshot of what each entity is doing. The way we've decided to do that in the past is to provide statistical reports from each group. That's not strictly required, I don't think, but it does give a good look as to, you know, what's changed, what's happened this year. The request, if this council wanted to do that again for 2025, I would just need updated statistics from the group, within a month, so we could update all those statistics. At the very end, please stop me if anybody has any questions.
Take care of justice courts. Plan on those statistics.
Great. Thank you. The strategic plan at the end I proposed some changes to more adequately reflect kind of the potential budget. The request used to be $3 million. Over a five-year period of time, I think those numbers would add up to about $2.5 million based off of current projections. So I've recommended that changes to $2.5 million. Again, that would be for kind of like a five-year funding of the program. That includes the two additional hires for the sheriff's office and additional hires and monies for the sheriff's office as the program grows. The number 250 participants, so additional staff for every 250 participants. That number came from Weber County, where they currently have around 500 members, participants, and 4 to 5 staff. So it was kind of an extrapolation from their program and how they have scaled this. Any of this can change based off of the council's input. Going down, this is page 17, we include costs for equipment, program, software. The sheriff's office has met, I think we've mentioned this, with at least two software probation companies that they both seem promising. The one thing I added in here was section B with $125,000 for kind of a program director. In talking with Uinta County Pretrial Services Program Director, it made it clear to me as staff that's kind of trying to put this all together that I don't know enough about pretrial services and criminology to adequately represent what pretrial services needs. They have a program coordinator that seems to – they secured funding, lots of funding from the state. She knows what she's doing. Somebody like that, I think, would be beneficial to help run the program. That's my perspective from being boots on the ground, working on this. So that's kind of the change as far as the strategic plan. This is obviously a draft, and the council can propose and approve anything else or something totally different if they want. But this was based loosely off of what was approved last year.
Ben, is that coordinator sworn or civilian?
And UN says she's a civilian staff.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, but yeah, that's what they do. And someone like her, she seems to know a lot, and she knows what she's doing, and they seem to have a successful program.
Sheriff Smith, do you have thoughts on that?
No, I'm good either way. Sometimes a civilian positioning is a little bit more stable. You don't have guys moving around, and in the long run, ends up being a better bang for our buck of keeping someone trained and in that position.
Right. So is that increasing it from an estimated 243,000 to basically 400,000?
Yeah, that would. This position wasn't anticipated in the sheriff's budget ask. But it'd be my opinion that for the overall success of the program to include that individual eventually at some point up front if we can, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, do we need it to start? I'm just looking at funding.
If you get somebody in that position that's stable, and then as deputies move around, promote, come and go, you always have that stability. I think it's probably more healthy for the program.
All right. You talk about expanding the program. I'm a little curious about that because I view pretrial services as a program too. I mean, one of the things I'd like to add in there, I mean, this is a pretty big deal as far as it kind of fits with the Bell reform emphasis so that less people, which I know that legislature is very much interested in, so that less people are having to be held in jail. But I know that Salt Lake, for example, theirs is limited to third-degree felonies, nonviolent third-degree felonies, and Class A misdemeanors. And I don't recall whether or not they also involve the justice courts, but I don't see a lot of expansion beyond that. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. No. Why no? We want to just make it happen, right?
Yeah, but I'm just talking about the future. I don't know that, once you start talking second degree, first degree felonies, then I don't know that pretrial services is the right approach. But you might have, Josh, you might have a different perspective on that.
I think you see how it goes. And then, you know, I mean, some second degree felonies, not all second degree felonies are the same. So there might be room for expansion into some of the more, you know, less serious second degree felonies.
But it was pretty minimal, the number that is that number that they estimated that we'd be servicing in this report?
No, that would be a statistic that we could include.
Yeah, we ought to include that in the
right
in there. So
I can work with Brooke to refine that. I don't know if we both were kind of second guessing whether that was an accurate number. So,
okay.
I would see second degree felonies on a case, almost a case by case basis. I could see stolen car cases on occasion being of such a factual pattern that they might be appropriate for pretrial. I can't imagine, at least off the top of my head, where any place where a first-degree felony would be appropriate.
Yeah.
And that, and if we don't see a significant expansion, that I can go back to the commission, because that's a fear. A fear is we fund it at 300, and then next year it's 500, and then it's 700, and then it's 1 million. So if we don't see significant expansion on the horizon, I can definitely use that to go back.
Well, and I think, Commissioner, to address that point, the way we're proposing to set this up gives the sheriff's office the discretion based off of their resources and the judge's orders to limit that participation. So I think that mechanism is in place to hold down growth if that's what we want to do.
And in regards to expansion of justice corps, right now we're not focused on that at all. But if we expand, I think there would be minimal impact because I don't know that we need the services for most justice corps cases. Maybe a case by case on some DVs and some DUIs, but I just don't anticipate a huge thirst for pretrial service needs in justice corps. So I think we're focused on the right court level, the right classification levels. But if we ever did expand it, it would only be for those two types of offenses I can see on a case-by-case basis.
So it sounds to me like, I mean, we're not going to, even if we expanded it both directions that way, it would be minimal, Skyler. And of course, it's going to grow as the county grows. So, but beyond that, it doesn't sound, and we can control that. So I think going from, I mean, obviously we're not at 243,000 anymore when we're starting to talk to directors. So now all of a sudden we're talking 400,000. So it's done that before we've even started, Mr. Beltran.
Yeah. Which we all know is how every program works.
So you've shared this with everybody.
I shared it with the group. If we could get feedback as soon as possible, if UAC would like that, but before November 21st, this council would need to meet in before then. Or, like we did last year, I would get soft approvals from everybody individually, and we would ratify that the next year if we don't have time to meet before that deadline.
I mean, I think we could probably meet. We could even meet online. I mean, the majority of us are online already. Is there like the second Friday?
The 21st is the third Friday. If we approved it, then we could provide it to UAC that same day.
So we just have to have the soft approval beforehand.
I don't know if we met that same day.
Well, it would be best to have everything ready.
Agreed.
Okay, so I don't know. Do we want to try to do it on the 21st or the 14th? Thoughts?
Have a meeting on the 21st. Same time.
Does the 14th work for everybody?
So did again, what month?
November. It's a Friday.
Friday, November Friday, 14th.
If there's no objections, we'll set that. I do want to report, so I met with the chairs of the 18 different CJCCs yesterday. And now I have the notes on that. But, I mean, there's two things. I mean, they talked about there's not just us, but there's another CJCC that's creating pretrial services. They were excited about that. And then the homelessness issue, as Commissioner Beltran raised, that we're dealing with. But that's another one that these groups are working on. One of the questions they had, and I wanted to put it to you folks, are we okay with the commissioner being restricted to an elected official?
Or the chair being restricted.
The chair being restricted to an elected official, or would there be benefit to a legislative change that maybe opens that up to other members? Any thoughts on that?
No. Not really. Okay. Josh doesn't want to run this.
Yeah, I don't want to be in charge of that.
I think leaving it more open would give a broader base of perspective. I'd be in support of a change like that. And then it wouldn't be unduly burdensome on the elected officials either.
Yeah, I'm.
What's the reason?
I didn't say anything, but I'm supportive of that. So I'll get back to them and say that we're certainly interested in that. I'm not sure why they restricted it to elected officials. So I'll do that. So is there any, looking at that strategic plan, one of the things that they emphasize too is we need to be forthright and what gaps we see in our strategic plan, where what problems. I think it's important that we talk about the funding, in which you've addressed. Is there anything else that ought to, because we're kind of, this is kind of for the legislature in many ways. And so I think it's important that they understand what we're facing. Is there anything else in there that we should include or emphasize?
Maybe a list of.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Jeff, just as a point of clarification. I believe in the past, well, I guess this is just about the criminal, the crime statistics that we have in that report. It looks like it's 23, 24. We obviously want to update those. Do we see value in continuing that? I believe we gathered those statistics. We had one of our crime analysts here at Orem do that. Is that something we're interested in doing again this year? And this is just so that we can make sure we've got the frame and the time available and the manpowers to take care of that.
So it's not specifically required. The state code says that this council needs to map all the criminal justice system, their resources, their assets, have a plan for data sharing. I think that was trying to satisfy that requirement. Recidivism reduction objectives and community reintegration goals. So it's not specifically required, but that's how we decided to fulfill that request to share data.
I personally think it's beneficial. Again, we're making a case for the legislature. We're also, it helps us understand the dynamics of what we're facing. If that's a burden on you, I would just say we do what we can.
So looking at the calendar, we would obviously want to have this in place by the 21st for that meeting on the 21st. I think that's doable. And again, I'm not a voting chair member. I'm just filling in for BJ, but looking at what we have proposed, I see the value as well. I mean, that's the meat and potatoes of what's driving the need for this committee and for, you know, pretrial services support. So I'm in favor of it. Yeah. I will get with our analyst today, make sure that we can map out, and allow him some time to get that done.
Okay. Thank you. And just to clarify, I think we settled
just on to support point. That. Just to support that. I think anytime you're going to go in front of the legislature, and especially to request funds, if you're not prepared with current data, I think we're dead in the water. So I think it's imperative that we do that and as we move forward.
Okay. Yeah. Seth Parkin.
So you had asked what else could be in the report. I think we should always tie whatever we do into reduction and observation and recidivism. But we focused this year on pretrial services, which is a tremendous priority. But maybe we could identify one or two other areas we plan to focus as a committee going forward in the future and include that as our next thing to tackle after pretrial services. That may be a suggestion you could include in your report.
To that point, last year we included, and I think Christiana's here, she can speak to this, a victim services subcommittee that this council did form to look at victim services solutions. So that is another goal that was identified last year. It was placed on hold for pretrial services. Christiana, I don't know if you wanted to speak to that.
Yes, we put our focus on trying to build a walk-in center through a grant, so I was busy working on that, so I didn't make a subcommittee, but if that's still something that we want to do, I'm more than happy to put some efforts into that.
For purposes of the report, is just identify those things we still have on our burner plate that we're still working on to show that it's an active committee. We're emphasized pretrial this year, but we're tackling other things as well. So I think that's helpful.
We'll identify that. Anything else that we think? I mean, maybe we think about that. And to clarify, I think we're meeting on the 14th, not the 21st. Think about that and come prepared to, you know, discuss some things. I mean, recidivism issue, I mean, quite frankly, I think one of the places that we fail or that's underfunded is the mental health aspect of crime. And as far as reducing recidivism, I mean, it's really drugs and mental health. Those are the two drivers of crime. So anything that we can think of along those lines, I think would be good.
And Monty Mehmet, Wasatch Behavioral Health, reached out to me. He asked to be excused. He's at a conference in St. George. I'd be happy to reach out to him.
Okay.
If any suggestions from him.
Preferably, for the commission's sake, not super expensive. No, I fear that that's exactly what it is. I mean, it always comes down to it. All right, is there anything else? Then we'll send out an invitation. I appreciate your participation. If there's nothing else, do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'll move to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
Any opposed? All right, we're adjourned. Thank you so much.